Appreciate that song. I'm thankful we can be gathered together in the precious name of Jesus this morning. And hopefully that is the desire of each one of our hearts. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. If you'd like to look with me this morning, I'd like to look over into the book of Luke. In the 14th chapter of Luke. And before we start here, I'd like to just, why don't we all of us bow our heads together. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee this morning, we're so thankful that we can come to our Heavenly Father, the One who has given everything that we might have salvation. We're thankful, Lord, that Thou art looking down upon us this morning. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit as He comes and works among us and deals with each one of our hearts. And Father, today we pray that Thou wilt speak to us each one again. Thou wilt deal with us and show us where we stand before Thee, Lord, as we come with open hearts to God. We pray that Thou wilt examine our hearts and see if there be any wicked way within us and lead us in to life everlasting. Help us, dear Lord, that we might be surrendered, yielded vessels in Thy hands and completely open before Thee. We just pray that Thou wilt speak to our hearts and hide us, Lord, out of sight, and may Thy presence be here to have Thy right of way. We pray this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in verse 15, Luke, the 14th chapter, and starting with the 15th verse there. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to come to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Then I'd like to look over into Matthew. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And starting with the first verse there. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard, therefore, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot and take him away. And cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And I'd like for you to just notice that both of these scriptures that we've read this morning are speaking about the kingdom of God and speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And he gives us a parable here of a certain man in both places, that in the one, in the chapter in Matthew, he speaks about this great wedding being prepared for. Said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And we think about the kingdom of God and what God has done to prepare each one of us for that great marriage supper of the Lamb and for his own son. And he is preparing for that great day when the bride will be gathered home to be with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is probably nothing more wonderful in our lives than when we prepare for a wedding for one of our children. And as the announcement is made and the day of preparation starts getting closer, and it seems like it comes faster than we're ever ready. But it's a wonderful time, and we look forward to it. It's a time when the young couple can sit down and think about all the different friends that they have and who they'd like to invite, their special friends, to this wedding. And they're not able to invite everybody that they know because there wouldn't be room. But their special friends and their relatives, their loved ones, and they send out their special invitations. And this is what the Lord has done for us. He has sent out his special invitation. The call has gone out to each one of us, every individual that has come into this world. The call has gone out that we can come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in this situation, we have a very heartbreaking incident when he says he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And they would not come. We think about weddings and plans for weddings. Normally, if we're invited to a wedding, it changes all of our plans. If we had other plans, normally those things are simply dropped, set aside, another date is set. But for that special date, that special wedding date, we plan. That's a special time. That's something we don't want to miss. And the wedding that we're speaking about this morning is something that is even more important than any wedding that has ever happened in this world. This is once and for all. It's not one child here and another one a little later and so on until the different ones have found their companions. But this is the wedding supper of the Lamb of God, that made himself available to the whole world. And the Holy Spirit has been sent out into the world to call and to speak and to deal with people and to show them their needs and to bring them to the point of accountability and examination, if you please, to bring them to the point where they become accountable for what they have done and realize what they have done, but then also realize that there is a remedy for the situation that they find themselves in. And the Spirit of God is very faithful as he goes out and he speaks to this one and he speaks to that one. He's not like us. We look at people and we sort of take them at face value. We look at what they have on their face and whether they look pleasant or not. And we can't read the hearts, but he's the one that knows the heart life, and he's the one that knows exactly what is down there. I thought we'd turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. In the work of examination, he's not like a quack doctor who may simply give a placebo or a sugar pill or a symptom reliever or an aspirin or something that will cover up the pain and not deal with the problem. But the Spirit of God is the one that does what we should want him to do. When I go into a doctor's office and I have a problem, I want to know what the problem is. I don't know why I hurt this way or why this problem is taking place, but that's why I go to a professional to find out why the problem is. And I want to get to the source of the thing, to the root of the thing. I don't want him just to give me a shot that will give me some deadening for a little while. That'll make me feel better until I get home or even for a day or two. But I'd like for him to find out what's causing the problem. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. is to speak to every one of us about the situations that we find ourselves in. And every one of us is like sheep gone astray. Like those that have committed sin, we can't, any one of us, claim that we don't need salvation, that we don't need the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But we're a needy people. And even after He comes in and after He regenerates our hearts and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus, we need His continual leadership every day. We need His continual dealing with us every day, because we have a nature within us that would like to draw us aside, would like to pull us aside, like to cause us to stumble and to falter. And our natural inclination is to take the easy way out, take the way that makes me look better to other people, instead of maybe really getting the problems addressed that's down here. You know, why are there some of these symptoms that we may find in our lives? Oh, for a closer walk with the Lord, that we might, each one of us, find a closer walk with Him. Let's look in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And starting with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And the same manner also, after the same manner also, He took the cup which He had when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, and think of that cup, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And if ye would judge, if we would judge ourselves and should not be judged, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. For if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I'd like to look then just a little bit back again in the book of Luke, that 14th chapter. In the Luke, the 14th chapter. The wedding supper the big meal has just been prepared, and the invitation has gone out In verse 17 of Luke 14, the invitation is, come, for all things are ready. All things are ready. And that great day when the guests all begin to gather in and the cooks have prepared many days ahead of time for the supper. And then can you imagine the disappointment that would take place if some of those special ones that have been called would have, the message would come in. Well, this one has sent the message to let you know that they're not going to be able to be here. That they purchased some property and they're going to have to go finish up the work in the lawyer's office and get the property taken care of, and the day just won't work. They can't be here today. And maybe it's a close relative to the ones who are looking forward to this great day. Please make, he says in verse 18, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. And one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And then as the preparations of May are been made, another one, a call comes in. I'm sorry, we were planning to come, but something else has taken place, and we're not able to make it today. And one after another, these situations come in, making excuses. You know, we're a busy people today. And if we're not careful, some of these things can steal away the pearl of great price, even in our own lives. We can lose the fervor. We can lose the closeness to the Lord. People are watching on and they know about us. I was amazed the other day. Went in to a man just to check my hearing out. And as I was talking to him, explaining the different situations about that it's hard to hear when you're standing back in the entrance and a lot of people are gathered around, all of them talking at once and trying to listen to one person here and there. He said, well, what church do you go to? And I said, the Ozark Mennonite Church. And a little bit later he said, so you're a Mennonite? Yeah, I'm a Mennonite. You never know what kind of thought will go through their mind when you tell them what you are. And then to my amazement, he said, well, he said, he's read a lot about these Anabaptists, and that was something for me. Usually when you speak about being a Mennonite, you don't hear somebody talking about being an Anabaptist because they never heard of it before. And I mentioned to him, I said, well, when the first time I heard the expression Anabaptist, I thought it meant anti-Baptist. That's against Baptist. And the lady that was sitting there, she was somebody from OTC, a young student. She said, well, that's the first thing that went through her mind when she heard him say that. And she got her cell phone and punched in Anabaptist, trying to find out what Anabaptist means. Well, he told me, he said, no, he said, it's what they called the Mennonites or the Anabaptists back there, because they called them, they said that they were rebaptizers. And he knew probably more than I knew about the Mennonites, it sounded like. He said, they called them rebaptizers, but they said, no, we're not rebaptizers, because when you baptize infants, that's not really baptism. You know, it's an adult that understands, that believes it's a believer's baptism. And he went on and expounded to me, and talking about Felix Mance, being drowned in the river and all these different things. You know, sometimes we don't know what people know about us or our background and what they're expecting out of us. You know, are they disappointed? He was standing beside me, hooking up some things to some hearing aids that was hooked up to his computer and adjusting everything. And he said, and I'm not sure just how he said this. He said, when you go do this, or if you're going out golfing or this, but he said, he stopped just a moment. He said, but if you're a Mennonite, you probably don't do much golfing, do you? Well, now, why would he come off with something like that? How would he know anything about Mennonites don't go golfing? Here was a man in the middle of Springfield who knew more about me just by my expression of where I go to church than I would have ever guessed. But what if I would have disappointed him? And, yeah, no, I don't suppose I would need that when I go golfing. We haven't been golfing for a little while, but so on and so forth. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Another scripture I'd like to look at is over in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, if you'd like to turn over there just for a moment. Second Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I'd like to start with the 4th verse there. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, but that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, we are strong, and this also we seek, even your perfection. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Is that the way that each one of us feel this morning? That we've come to this special service. It's sort of like an examination service. It's a time that I hope over the past few days that we've been thinking about asking the Lord, even as a song we sang, something about searching us and trying us and seeing if there's any wicked way within us. Have we been opening our hearts up to the Lord? And as the Lord speaks to us and deals with us, are we being absolutely honest before the Lord? Or do we think it's just a time that we do twice a year and that we'll get this service over and then we'll have communion and that'll be over and we'll be ready again to sort of do what we want to do? I hope that's not the way that we feel this morning. The last few weeks should have been a time of, and even months should have been a time of thinking and asking God to search our hearts. We've gone over the things that our congregation believes, and the brethren over the many years have felt like were safe positions that we've held, that we hold, and we should hold dear today what God's Word has for us. And it should be something that should stir our hearts away from the world, away from the flesh, away from the devil, and for a closer walk with the Lord, examining ourselves. Well, that's the situation, is that we can either examine ourselves and then walk in the light as He is in the light, or we can do like these people did. In fact, He even spoke about them as being murderers. We wouldn't want to be called murderers, would we? And yet there are those that have crucified Jesus afresh by their lack of walking in the light, by their walking after the flesh, bad habits, bad thoughts. No, nobody heard what you was thinking or what I was thinking. But there's words that are spoken because of the thought life that start getting out, and people start hearing, well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And it's an indication that there is a spiritual problem. There's a problem there that goes deeper than just the surface. It lies in the thought life, that lies in the heart life. And if it's not taken care of, some of these things will destroy the soul and finally bring spiritual death, and then finally bring the second death. I'd like to look over into Revelations. And I'd like to turn to the 20th chapter. If somehow we can grasp the seriousness of some of these scriptures, I believe we're just about to the end of the race. I believe the Lord has prepared His supper. He's prepared His bride. And we're either a part of the bride of Christ or we're not. In Revelations, the 20th chapter, and I'd like to start reading in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's a wonderful place to start right there. If we've been redeemed and everything is clear between our soul and the Lord, there's no condemnation between our heart and the Lord. It's a wonderful place to be in. Then we can pillow our heads at night, and we don't have to roll and toss like I remember I used to, wondering if I was going to wake up the next morning or if I wasn't going to. And then have horrible dreams about what if the end time would come. And some being taken and eternally being lost. I remember those days. But it's a wonderful thing. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. For on such the second death hath no power. Then in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, wherefore the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You talk about a great battle. We hear of things being spoken of as far as you hear of the Battle of Armageddon, and they talk about the blood running up to horses' bridles. We're talking about a battle today that's a spiritual battle, that's a ferocious spiritual battle, and people are being deceived on every side. This scripture speaks about the false prophet. The beast and the false prophet shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We think of right now, today, that we're living in, a lot of these false cults and doctrines are multiplying faster and faster and taking people over and people being deceived on every side. And they seem to be popular with human beings. And the way of the cross is a way that doesn't seem too popular in the day we're living. It's a way of walking close to the Lord. It's a way of walking down the narrow way. It's a way of loving the old paths where are the good ways. It's a way of crucifying the self-life and living for the Lord in all of our life. Not following the fads and the fashions of this old world that are soon going to pass away. And the leaders of all of this fashion and pride and what we've heard people talk about going to some of the street meetings out in California and other places, the awful demoralizing type things that you find out there, all of these things that all of a sudden seem popular to the world are going to come to a sudden end. And this scripture brings it right to a point. He says that the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And there's coming a day when the God of all gods, the one Brother Joe was speaking about this morning, the Heavenly Father that gave his only begotten Son, that you and I might have salvation. All of a sudden, now, he's the one that's going to call us into account before him. And he's going to sit on his great white throne at the white throne judgment. And the world is going to be gathered before him. And this is what he says here. He sits on this throne whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books are opened. And this is the time, it doesn't matter if you were president, or if you were prime minister, or if you was deacon or bishop or minister or Sunday school teacher or Sunday school superintendent. It doesn't matter who we were, great and small, there, standing before God. And there we are, as open as a book ourselves, because God is the one that is all-seeing. God can see right down into the very depths of our hearts. He said the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's not according to, well, Brother so-and-so thought I was all right, and I was certainly doing better than what she was doing. You know what she did, and she was a good member in good standing in the church, and my life I thought was better than that. And all of a sudden, we're standing there, and it's the absolute knowledge of God with complete, no partiality whatsoever. No partiality because our name is Burke or Miller or Rupp or whatever your name is. But it's just human being souls, living souls, standing before the Almighty God, giving account to Him. You know, in a little bit, each one of us planned to walk back through the council room and give an expression of where we stand before the Lord. And we can do it and I hope every one of us do it in complete honesty and openness before the Lord. Probably there's been some times that hasn't happened. And people, I've heard of them mention about regrets for having said that everything was okay and that they had peace when they really didn't. But I believe when we stand before the throne of God, I don't believe there's going to be a lot of trying to excuse ourselves, because I don't think there'll be any excuse that will stand before the all-seeing eyes of God. He says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. You've heard that song. I've thought of it a lot of times. Go search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday. I can't even remember all the words. I did this. I did that. Go search the books again. I thought my name was there. Don't you realize who my family is, my parents? Don't you realize that I went to church every morning, every Sunday morning? Maybe I missed a lot of Sunday nights, and maybe I never came on prayer meeting night, but Lord, go search the book again. See if my name is not there. The books were opened, and the book of life, the dead was judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And he said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his work, to their works. I had an uncle, had been my mother's uncle, who said he didn't believe in God. And so when he came to the end, he wanted to be, what do you call it? Anyway, your body is burned, cremated. He wanted his dust to be scattered where it could not be found or picked up. Why would he want something like that to happen if he didn't believe in God? And he thought he would just die like a dog, and that would be the end. But that man, I don't know how many years ago that was, when his soul left this world, he went to be judged of God. He went to the place that he'd prepared for. He made his bed in hell. He lifted up his eyes if he didn't get things made right with God. There's no way to hide from God. He says right here that the sea gives up the dead. Some have been buried at sea. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then we come to that. Maybe we should just look over into Psalms, the 26th Psalm. And the scripture says, starting with the very first verse there, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. That's a wonderful testimony of when we can come to the end of this old life, that we can say, Lord, judge me, try the reins of my heart. And the next verse it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I just pray this morning that each one of us will reverently go about the rest of this service, open before the Lord, asking the Lord to search me, examine me, try my heart. It's not what they think about me, what they think about me, but Lord, try the reins of my heart. See if there's anything that would come between my soul and the Lord. See if there's anything that would keep me from losing my soul, or would make me lose my soul or miss out on heaven. May the Lord help us. Let's kneel in prayer.